Today, I wanted to talk about what to expect at your first kinky play party. So things are starting to open back up, and if you watch this in the future, essentially this week, the CDC over here in the U.S. is saying it's okay to go indoors vaccinated without a mask. So I'm kind of expecting kinky things to start opening back up again. So with that in mind, this seemed like a good topic to cover. I can't tell you what play parties are going to look like with coronavirus still going on and with the vaccination verification, and I don't know what your local parties are going to look like for that. So with that in mind, I've been to hundreds and hundreds of play parties before the COVID times, and I'm pretty much basing all of this off of what play parties looked like back then. I don't entirely know what they're going to transform into when they start reopening again, but I assume they'll have kind of the same basic stuff. So, especially if you're brand new to kink and you've been hanging out on the virtual munches and you've been talking to a bunch of people virtually, and now it's time to like go to a play party, like in person, in real life, and like it's different, but like I feel like if you understand more about it, it's less terrifying, because anything's terrifying if you don't know anything about it. So essentially that is my goal here, is let's just talk about play parties. And I made an outline because I am like totally a nerd like that. So what is a play party? The first thing that comes to a lot of people's minds is like this idea of an orgy, or like everybody's just there and naked and having hot sex, and like there's not even like any discussion. It's just like you get naked and somebody like that doesn't happen. Maybe if you attend a specifically scheduled orgy where you will be very, very vetted, that might happen. But play parties essentially are just spaces where kinky people can get together to play. And I know that's super duper but generic, but I'd like to point out that play parties are very, very unique. If you go to a play party in one part of the city and you go to a different play party run by somebody else in a different part of the city, they may be like night and day. So while a lot of these principles ring true for any play party you go to, it's important to know that every play party is unique. And that comes into play, like if you don't like one, try a new one. If one wasn't for you, try a new one. So I want to get that out there first. But at its core, a play party is about a safe space where kinky people feel comfortable playing near one another, where they feel comfortable being themselves. Lots and lots of people will go to play parties and never play. Like, they just don't play with people there. That's not really for them. They don't really like it. They don't like being on display like that. However, they keep going because a lot of people see play parties as a social place where you can go and you can dress up and you can dress up kinky and you can be yourself and your partner can kneel at your feet and you can wear a collar and a leash and no one bats an eye. So it's more about feeling accepted and having the opportunity to play than necessarily having everything be about the play. And I feel like that's an important part to like understand before we continue. Because I have been to play parties where there's like one scene the entire night, like an entire 6-hour party, and it's just everyone talking. And that's fun. It's enjoyable. It's just something to keep in mind. It's not all about the play. I know we call it a play party, call it a kink party, whatever you want to call it, but it's just mostly about the connections and the socialization and the freedom and the comfort to be who you feel as a kinky person, more so than just showing off like how awesomely you can be spanked. It's definitely more about the socialization. So let me take a drink of water here, and then we will talk about like what actually happens at a play party. Okay, so what actually happens at a play party? We just went over, it's not a giant orgy. So at any given time, the vast majority of people will be talking. There's usually a social area to make sure this doesn't interrupt the scenes that are going on, but the majority of people will be in some sort of talking conversation, hanging out near the foods or drinks. That tends to be where a lot of people congregate, and they're just like, hi, I haven't seen you in like a month. How are you doing? How are the kids? Things like that. So the majority of what's going on is definitely talking. However, what you are most likely to see scene-wise at most play parties is going to be a lot of impact play. So expect to see a lot of people bent over for spankings, and expect to see, depending on what type of party you're at and if they have hard points, expect to see a lot of rope bondage. Those are both very, very common kinks. They can be easier to negotiate and easier to pull off in the settings that are play parties than some other kinks. Most play parties will have loud music. Not all, but a lot do have loud music, which means it kind of limits some of the play you can do because you can't have a whole lot of back and forth conversation without really leaning in to talk to someone. Think of like a club or a bar. The noise level doesn't always have to be that high, but it is often at that level unless it is specifically advertised that it isn't. You're also going to see a lot of kinky furniture. You're going to see St. Andrew's crosses. You're going to see spanking benches up the wazoo. You might see wrestling mats. You might see cages. There's usually a bunch of massage tables up the wazoo because they're very, very versatile and can be used for a lot of stuff. You might see queening chairs. There might be like liberator sex furniture. There's usually just a ton of kinky furniture that's specialized for doing kinky things on it. So don't be concerned if you see that. If you do need to sit down, pick one of the probably lots of normal looking chairs to sit down on. You're also going to see a lot of people showing off kinky outfits. Play parties are one of the places where kinky people feel comfortable dressing up however they want to dress up, to look sexy, to look hot, to just wear a gimp outfit, to wear full latex, whatever it is they are wearing. You're going to see a lot of people showing off their kinky outfits, and that's definitely part of the fun for a lot of people. It's kind of like going out on the town, only kinky sex edition. Your play party may or may not allow full nudity or any penetration. So that's really something to know before you get into a play party, is what are the rules? Some will allow you to be topless, but you'll need to wear at least an underwear or a thong. A lot of them have transitioned away from that, but it just depends on what area you're in. Some play parties will not allow any penetration. That includes with toys, fingers, digits, whatever. Some will not allow any penetration without a condom, even if you happen to be fluid bonded in your like private life. Some will not allow any sort of sexual touch at all. So no genital touching at all. You really need to be familiar with the play party rules, which can vary based on the comfort level of the group that's throwing the play party. It can vary based on the local ordinances for play parties and that kind of stuff. So usually in the posting where you find out about the party or somewhere in the management, you can easily find out what the rules are to play party. Other things that are important about a play party. There will be DMs. These are called dungeon monitors. These are going to be people who are, depending on where the party you're at, local. They're usually really easy to find. That's how I want to describe that. What that will entail depends on your local party. That might be somebody pointing out that the person wearing the tiara is the dungeon monitor. That might be the person wearing the like bright orange safety vests you cannot miss. It might be the person wearing the lanyard around their neck that's bright yellow. Essentially, the dungeon monitor is an experienced kinkster who's there to help in case of emergencies. They are there to step in if somebody's safe wording and the scene is not ceasing. They're pretty much there for emergencies. They are there to know what to do in case something goes really fucking wrong. That is their job. Luckily for all of us, that doesn't happen much. So essentially, dungeon monitors spend a lot of their time just asking people to quiet down and don't talk so loud in your scenes, or they spend a lot of time asking people to please stop using the equipment if they've been hogging it for an hour or two. But they are there in case of an emergency. So if something's going wrong, if you don't know what to do, if you're unsure on something, dungeon monitors can be a great resource. Just make sure they're not actively doing something when you try to talk to them. So we did speak of safe words. Play parties usually will have a universal safe word for most of them to keep things really easy to remember. The stoplight system is what a lot of them use. So green, yellow, red. You say red. You say red very loudly if something's wrong or you need to stop the scene. That's essentially the safe word most of them use. They might have a different in-house safe word, but most kinksters will understand what red means. This safe word is what allows play parties to be one of the safer spaces for beginners and newbies to start exploring kink, because if you're not entirely sure what you're doing because you're a beginner, it's a lot harder to take advantage of a beginner if you're a malicious or abusive type. Because if you say your safe word, if whoever's the beginner says red and the other person does not respect it, people start stepping in. And that's part of the safety of a play party is, yes, it's super fun to watch scenes, and that's what a lot of people like to do. But there's also that extra safety net of like the social safety net if something's not going how it should be. The final thing to know about play parties is that most of them are not usually too intense. I think when a lot of people think of play parties, they think of some of the like most intense scenes they've seen in their whole lives in porn, and they're going to be there. There's going to be like tons of people bound by their wrists being whipped, and there's just going to be blood everywhere. You're not probably going to see most of that. Most play parties will provide warning ahead of time for any edge play that's going on. And a lot of them don't allow body with fluids, and a lot of them don't allow blood. So essentially, don't be afraid that you're going to see stuff that's really, really intense. That's not likely what's going to happen. Most of them tend to hang out in the impact play, rope bondage, much more chill, maybe some sexual stuff kind of realm than a lot of the over the top, really, really intense kink that you see in porn. That being said, what do you do if something you see is upsetting you? First off, don't stop the scene. It is important for someone to stop the scene if it's dangerous, but if you are brand new to kink, you probably don't entirely understand what's always going on at any given point, what's consensual, what's been negotiated, etc. So don't step in. However, if you think it's dangerous, get one of those dungeon monitors right away. Report it to them, tell them what you've seen, and you may find out that the dungeon monitor is going to tell you that was negotiated ahead of time. You may find out that this was a scene that's already been prepared. You may find out that this is entirely within the consensual realm of what those people negotiated. It's just maybe something more hardcore than you yourself are used to seeing. Because a lot of that stuff can seem kind of intense in real life the first couple times you see it. So that being said, if something makes you uncomfortable, it's really simple. You just don't watch. I know that sounds a little patronizing, but kink spaces are designed to be welcoming to all types of kinks. So if something's really not doing it for you, you can just not watch. You can leave the area if your self-care requires that. Like, do not subject yourself to things that are bothering you or hurting you. I recommend you sit and think about why those things are bothering you. Not because you're not allowed to be bothered by them, you totally are, but because it's really interesting to start diving into some of the stuff that we consider problematic when we encounter it. Like, a lot of things we go, whoa, this bothers me, and we just let it bother us. And that's not necessarily what you want to do in kink. I feel like that's an entire episode to itself. But the idea is there's a lot of kinks out there, a lot of them. And your kink is not my kink is a pretty common statement in the kink world, because there's going to be a lot of stuff you don't necessarily like watching, you're not into, stuff like that. So you don't watch. If you think it's super dangerous, you get someone who will know if it's dangerous, was negotiated, was cleared ahead of time, etc. And you leave the area, protect yourself mentally, and stay away from those kind of scenes if they're bothering you. So, let's get on to something a little less intense, back to the nicer, fluffier things of attending a play party. What are the requirements to attend a play party? And like a lot of things that I've said before, it's pretty much going to be, it depends. Almost anywhere there's going to be an age requirement. This is to keep people who are not the age of consent from attending a play party. In some places, it may be higher than the age of consent, because there does tend to be some immaturity problems in a lot of people that are just above age of consent. I'm not saying that's everybody. I don't think it's everybody. But for a lot of groups, either for legal reasons, for local law reasons, just for safety of their member reasons, they may have an age limit that is higher than the age of consent. Something to consider. Most play parties make this very, very obvious about what the requirement is. Speaking of other requirements, you may need someone to vouch for you, or you may need to attend other public events this group throws. So essentially, a play party is a type of a public event that a kink group may throw. Other events may be educational events. They may have classes. They may have munches, which are essentially just like super chill social things at a public place where you can feel comfortable meeting people because it's just like a restaurant and you know how to behave in a restaurant. It's not going to be like trying to learn how to behave at a play party. So the idea is you kind of learn what those people are about. You feel more comfortable with those people before you come hang out at a play party, which is an unfamiliar environment with its own laws and customs and all those things. They may also have sloshes, which are pretty much munches, but they're usually held at bars and other establishments that have alcohol. Water is delicious. So it really is going to depend on your local groups, and when you start looking into play parties, they will usually make this very clear. If you do need someone to vouch for you, usually that requires, it's like the upgraded version of attending public events. They pretty much want you to go to a public event, get to know some people. Those people will be like, oh yeah, this person seems pretty chill. I'm okay showing them around a play party the next time one happens, and that's pretty much what will happen. It's just to keep out a bunch of random people nobody may know. So that being said, how do you find like a play party? How do you find a public event? How do you find these kink groups? Some play parties will be open to the public, so there may not be anything you need to necessarily hit. There's no prerequisite you need to hit except for the age thing and not being a dick. But I don't know how, like, they'll ask you to leave if you're a dick. So those are your prerequisites. Don't be a dick and be of the age they ask. To find those play parties, how do you find them? Well, your local kink group, I know it's kind of circular here, catch 22. Your local kink group is the easiest way to find play parties. The public ones will usually be posted publicly. They'll talk about them. They may be on FetLife. You may be able to Google BDSM your city, so like BDSM Minneapolis, BDSM Chicago, and usually if a group has a public site, it will show up there. The local kink groups will be easier for finding the private parties or the more niche parties. So femdom parties, pegging parties, those kind of things tend to be by invite only, and you're only going to find the invites if you start knowing the people, getting involved in the communities, things like that. So you found a play party. You've learned what you need to learn to attend it. You've learned what it is. So you know what a play party is and what it isn't, and you're excited to go. So when do you show up? Well, you show up when it starts. You may or may not need to show up early, depending on if they have a newbie orientation. A lot of play spaces will have an orientation before the party officially starts. I highly, like 30 times here, recommend you go. In most spaces, this will involve someone, a really friendly someone usually, like those socially extroverted people that I'm terrible at pretending to be. It will usually involve someone taking a group of newbies around the space while all the lights are on, super duper helpful. While all the music's off, super duper helpful. And they're going to explain what the different areas are for. They're going to talk about what the rules of the dungeon are. They're going to show you where the bathrooms are, where the safer sex equipment is, how to find the dungeon monitors in case you have a problem. They're going to talk about what the rules and requirements are at their play party. They're going to talk about really anything you need to know. They're going to give you like the behind the scenes tour of this play party you're about to see. And super cool, you usually get to watch them kind of setting up the place too. So you get to see like how this spanking bench was folded down into like a 2-inch thick thing, and then it sets up into like this massive, super cool bench. So you also get to see some cool behind the scenes stuff. But essentially, that is the person. You will get to know their name, probably, their scene name, probably. So they'll tell you, they'll introduce themselves, however they are comfortable introducing themselves. And you will have someone that you know for the evening, which is super helpful if you are brand new to going to a party. You will have, like, this person whose face you've, like, seen and recognize, and their voice you recognize. And if you have a problem in the evening, they will totally answer your question. In addition, this is the time to ask any questions that you might have and you might be curious about or confused about. This is the safe space for the people who don't really know what's going on to ask whatever questions come to mind to make sure that they are comfortable and get the most out of the play party experience. That's pretty much what the orientations are for. So, if you're unable to go to orientation, I recommend waiting for a party when you can go to orientation. Honestly, it's that important. But if you are past the stage of orientation, let's say this is your second or third time showing up to this party, when should you show up? Well, you need to show up about when the doors open. Double check with your local play party to see exactly what their rules are. But a lot of play parties have a locking time, and this is when they will lock the doors and no one else will be allowed in. So if you miss coming during the time when, you know, entrance was open, you're just not going. And that's kind of a sad feeling to get all dressed up and kind of get turned away at the door. So really don't do that. You can't show up fashionably late. You have to be on time. So while you're packing to go to this event, what should you bring? Well, if this is your first party, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you don't bring anything besides yourself, your asked for ID, and anything else that was asked for you to bring in order to gain entrance to the party. This is for a couple reasons. First reason being you will not be tempted to play at your first party, which I do not recommend playing at your first party, just because, wow, it's overwhelming, and I'll get into that in a second, but I don't recommend you play at your first party, so bring yourself, any asked for identification you need to get in, bring whatever safe mental happy space supplies you need for you to feel comfortable there for the night. For me, that might include like a blanket because I love curling up in blankets. That might include a comfortable pair of shoes for me. Maybe a notepad if I wanted to write down some kink ideas, and probably some bottles of water. You would want to find out if your kink place allows you to bring your own water. In a lot of spaces, I may just bring an empty bottle of water and refill my water bottle from their supply of water. So if you are going to a play party that's not your first, you also should bring any toys that you plan on using that night, or pack some sort of scene that you're hoping to use. Like, don't go super overboard unless you have a plan, because you'll be miserable dragging it around all night and miserable trying to keep track of it. But if you have a plan, bring the toys you need for that plan. I recommend you bring any clothing you need. If you need to change on site, you bring the clothing. And I recommend you bring an aftercare kit. Whatever that looks like for you is what it looks like for you. Water, chocolate, snacks, chippies, whatever feels like aftercare to you, you would bring that. I also recommend comfortable shoes if you're going to be wearing heels or shoes that are uncomfortable. I am constantly surprised by like how some of the men's dress shoes are actually really uncomfortable. So if you're going to bring or wear those, bring something comfortable to change into. And finally, bring safe sex materials. If your dungeon allows you to do things that wear condoms, dental dams, the female condom, puppy pads, gloves, any of that might be required, go ahead and bring that. Most play parties provide light stuff like lube or condom on site, but a lot of them do not. So make sure you have what you need to be safe and to keep your partners safe. Things to note, a lot of parties will not provide their own toys. You will need to bring your own toys. Some parties may provide a small selection of toys for absolute beginners to use. Make sure you ask how to clean those, what's expected of those, and make sure to clean, bring them back in great shape when you're done to where you got them from. In addition, make sure you know the rules for your play party. A lot of play parties take place in normal-ish neighborhoods. For the sake of discretion, these play parties will prohibit you from showing up in kink clothing. Do not show up in your gimp outfit at wherever this party's going unless that is like explicitly stated in the rules. Instead, most people will either wear their kink clothing under like a trench coat or something super discreet like your winter coat. However, if it's the middle of summer and that's going to look really awkward, a lot of people will bring their kinky clothing with them and change right on site. Many spaces actually provide bathrooms, mirrors, all the shebang, clothing spots in order to make these changes too. They really, really would like you to protect the discretion, the privacy, the safety of everyone involved by making sure you aren't sticking out like a sore thumb when you come. So just keep that in mind. Make sure you follow the rules of the space, which is pretty much number one ever when you're going to be attending a play party. So what shouldn't you bring? You should never bring a camera ever, 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 unless it is explicitly agreed upon by management. If you are brand new, just don't bring a camera. Don't even worry about it. There are some larger events that will allow that kind of thing, but it's usually only by the professional photographers who are either hired or vetted through the event. So do not bring a camera. There's no reason to bring a camera. Don't do that. In many, many spaces, you cannot bring a cell phone into the space either. This is to prohibit any sort of privacy concerns like pictures, audio, video, that kind of stuff being taken. While you just leave it in your car, you just don't bring it inside. Make sure you know the rules before you bring a cell phone inside. Almost no play parties allow it, almost none. So make sure you leave it in your car. Do not bring it inside. Like, I know I'm a broken record here, but it's really important to the point where if they see a cell phone, you will probably be banned from all future events. Like, it's that serious. Do not bring a cell phone. In addition, make sure you know your party's rules on controlled substances and drugs, including alcohol. Almost no play parties will allow any sort of illegal drugs. Like, that's just not a thing that's going to happen. I don't think there is any at all that will allow illegal drugs. Some play parties may allow legal substances that may include marijuana or alcohol. That will vary based upon where you live and, again, what the rules are. In most cases, it will be BYOB if that is allowed, and you will be asked to leave if you seem extremely inebriated. So if you're going to bring those kind of things, make sure you enjoy responsibly and only at a party where it is allowed. So how should you dress? Like everything I've been saying, pretty much check the rules for the event. Every event is going to be different, especially if you're new and may or may not be broke. And even if you're not broke, you probably don't have a ton of kinky clothing lying around if you're not involved in kink communities and don't have anywhere to wear a lot of this cool stuff. So make sure you know the rules for the event. A lot of events will just ask you to dress nicely, like a semi-formal. So that may include like a nice dress if you wear dresses. That may include nice shoes that are not beat up, covered in like today's lawn mowing grass. That may include a nice polo, a nice looking pants that don't have holes in them unless it's like fashion holes and not just raggedy. I haven't bought new pants in 6 years pants. Some events are going to be much more formal where they'll say like fetish wear only. That would mean fetish wear. So latex, rubber, leather, really sex. If it looks like it's designed to turn someone on, in most cases that will qualify as fetish wear. That also includes lingerie in a lot of places. It just depends on how strict the fetish wear definition is. If you're unsure, make sure you reach out to someone and ask, because some places are going to be, I don't know why a beginner newbie would be trying to go to these, but some spaces are going to be straight up don't come unless you're wearing rubber, latex, leather, those kind of materials. So make sure you know if it says fetish formal required, make sure you know what that means. Ask, clarify if you need to, just like anything in life, there's someone out there who can answer your question. With that in mind, dress up in something that makes you feel kinky, makes you feel hot, makes you feel like you look good, confident. I don't want to say there's no point in going to a kink party if you don't feel like you belong, but I feel like feeling like you belong starts with putting in the effort to feel like you look like you belong. And for a lot of people, that looks like a lot of different stuff. For me, for example, that would probably look like dragging some dresses and some corsets out of my closet that I never wear. I probably would put on fishnets. I'm not putting on heels. Like, I'm just not going to events in heels. That time has passed me a long time ago. I'm not a heels person as much as I love them. So what looks like kinky dressed up to me is going to look very different from someone else who is going to be dressed in like latex that took an hour to put on and they've shined it to perfection and they're in these stiletto heels that are so gorgeous and they're wearing matching collar and cuffs. It's going to be very different for every person. Make sure you're in something that feels good to you while still going within the rules for the event. If you do not have a lot of stuff and you do not have a huge budget, consider lingerie or consider sexy looking underwear. Both of those can be pretty cheap depending on where you get them and can work for anyone of any gender or body type, etc. You can wear a sexy pair of briefs. You can wear a sexy thong. It's really up to what works for you. With that in mind, make sure, again, it works within the rules. And if you're wearing something that does not have a whole lot of coverage around your genital, butt, that area, I call it a butt towel because that's me. Some places will call it a butt towel, but essentially they want to protect the furniture you're going to sit on. So if you're going to not be wearing a whole lot on your bottom half, just bring a towel to carry around with you, towel, blanket, whatever you want. Essentially, you throw it down on a surface before you sit on the surface. So whatever parts of you there are, do not get on the parts of the chair or the floor or the bench, whatever you sit on. It's essentially just carry around your own pair of mobile underwear, really. So if you know you're going to be without bottoms, carry around a towel, blanket, etc. to do that. Another way to kind of kinkify your dress can also be carrying around a prop or putting them on a belt loop around your clothes. You can just wear a belt and loop a flogger around that belt and it can just like hang off your hips all sexy like. Like that's a really cheap way to incorporate one of the toys you may have into something that looks sexier and feels sexier for you. As we covered above, do not dress to the nines to physically walk to the party. Most places will prohibit that and ask you to please, God, don't do that. Instead, bring your stuff, change while you're there, make it fun, etc. So, what can you do at a play party? If this is your first play party, like I've talked about before, I recommend just watching, honestly. Play parties are going to be kind of overwhelming the first time you come to them. There isn't really anything in everyday life that's anything like it. There isn't anywhere in life where you can just casually go into this space where you're going to look at people half naked, comfortably sexually expressing themselves, possibly having sex, engaging with each other kinky ways, sexy ways. There isn't really anything we have like that in everyday life. So this can get very overwhelming, not in a bad way, or maybe in a bad way. It's just really how socially you are. Like for me, it can get overwhelming in a bad way. And in those cases, I just take a step back. But for a lot of people, it can be overwhelming in a good way. We're like, wow, this is basically porn and it's in real life. Like you can feel very turned on and very excited. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, But that's exactly why we're planning for just watching for your first play party. Because horny brain can be like a real thing and it can make you do something you're really going to regret. And we don't want you doing that. That's no fun for whatever happens. That's no fun for you. Like, that's not going to make you want to come back. So first experience, you are going to go. You're not going to bring any toys. You are just going to watch. You are possibly going to talk to people. You are just going to get the lay of the land so you can feel much more confident next time, because play parties happen often. So don't feel like you need to rush this first party. There will be another one where you will feel more confident and you will understand better what's going on, so you can make sure you do things that are proper and happy and all the good things. So first party, really just want you to go watch and possibly just talk to people. Wallflowering, totally okay at play parties. There are lots of people who just go and watch. The only thing that's not okay in almost all play parties is any sort of watching and masturbating. That's just a big, big, big no-no. Mostly because you're non-consensually inserting yourself into their scene. Like, if you are just watching, totally cool. They're aware people are watching them. Like, that's something they consented to when they came to play at a play party. There are people around. If you start doing something sexual to what they're doing, that's not the same level of consent. That wasn't something that's agreed upon in the group rules. So do not do that. I know it can be really hot. I know things can be really sexy. The idea is to watch. Find out what's, like, cool for your area. Find out what your area tends to do. Maybe talk to some people that seem cool, etc. Do not do anything sexual. Do not touch anyone without their permission. This is not a free-for-all just because people are not as dressed or as stuffy as they may be in regular life. This is still a space that requires a lot of consent, a lot more than your everyday life, really, because people are in tantalizing and sexual things, and it seems like in a lot of spaces it might be welcoming, and that's not something you can do. Don't touch people. Don't touch yourself. Not like that. Just watch, just enjoy, just see what's happening. And at a later date, I think you can probably play. So when you do want to play at a play party, I don't really want to cover everything about arranging a scene, because I will go into like a 3-hour audio episode and that will be just ridiculous. But if you do want to play at a play party, it's essentially going to involve talking to someone. I know, surprise, surprise. Negotiating that scene. So you have to have an idea of what you want and what you do not want. You would go over to the social area and you would talk to this person. And I recommend telling them that you're new. Not because that's a bad thing. It's actually pretty awesome to tell people you're new in kink. Not only will they make sure that they ask more questions of you, because you may not understand all of the implicit things that a lot of kinky people understand after going to parties for 10 years. So they're going to ask you more questions. They're going to help you figure out what exactly it is you want out of the scene. And they're going to be a lot gentler with you in the scene. So when you know somebody hasn't done something yet, you tend to take things maybe like a little slower than you would with someone you know has been spanked 700 times before. So make sure you are very upfront about your experience level. It's not a bad thing in kink at all. Honesty and open communication in kink is always, always, always encouraged. So if you want to play at a play party in the future, you totally can. I'm not trying to keep you from doing that. Just have some experience under your belt of what's expected at the play party, where the people play, what kind of scenes are even a possibility. If you don't know what kind of stuff goes on at this play party, it's going to be hard to negotiate exactly what you can do. So having a little bit of watching time and just easing yourself into it just makes the experience way better down the line. So, with that in mind, we talked about talking to someone because you're negotiating, right? So, can you talk at a play party? I mean, the music's kind of loud and people are playing. Is that somewhere you can talk at? If someone's playing, can you join in? So first off, no, you can't join in just because someone's playing. I feel like that doesn't need to be said, but I know that needs to be said. But just because somebody's playing doesn't give you an open invitation to play with them. This includes solo scenes. There's a lot of people that like to enjoy solo things in a public space. So they might just be tying something to their own body. That's not a time to approach them. That is their own scene. Do not approach. If two people are playing and you think their toy's super cool and you want to ask where they got it, nope. If at any point two people look like they're doing anything remotely kinky, do not approach. Do not talk to them until you see other people talk to them and the people that are engaged in the remotely kinky thing positively responding to the other person talking to them. So this is one of those things where sitting back and watching can really benefit you because you can just see when it's time by seeing what everyone else is doing. So I know scenes can be really, really cool. I know I often like want to talk to somebody like, oh my God, that was so cool. I want to compliment you. I totally want to do that. But you have to wait until those people are not playing. And playing may involve people who are just completely solo. There are solo scenes. That's totally a thing. People get in their own headspace. Don't bother anyone that looks like they're doing anything remotely kinky. So, with that in mind, what the heck? Where can you talk? So, most play parties will have a social area. This social area is where you're supposed to talk. Depending on the size of your play party, some play parties are huge and the social area is like 6 rooms away. I would keep things at a relatively lower volume, even if there is a social area, just as loud as you need to be to have the conversation. But that's where you're designed to go talk. If you know you're going to have a lengthy conversation, go to the social area. That's just do that. You can even just be like, hey, let's go to the social area. That's totally a normal thing to do. What is bad, and the only time talking's not okay, is near scenes. Essentially, hearing people talk, especially about things that are unrelated, because that's how talking works. You go from like one point and then you're talking about the cool bridge that's being built downtown. And now we're talking about like, wow, you had to go over that bridge to take the recycling and you got in a traffic jam. Those things, that's just how talking and conversation works. It's a rabbit hole of who the fuck knows what. So talking near scenes can very quickly get distracting to the people who are in the scenes, especially when the talking isn't kinky. And because of how conversation works, you have to be very disciplined to make sure that all of your conversation stays near the social area. A little whisper like, are you okay here? Is totally okay near a scene. Whispering, okay. Small sentence, okay. Any conversation that's over like 2 sentences should probably be moved to the social area. You may or may not see people following this rule. This is like the one rule that every kinkster in every play space ever is going to break. It's just a thing. People talk. It's terrible. Dungeon monitors have to ask them to move. Kinksters get thrown out of their own headspace. Try not to be the person who's causing this problem. If it's a long conversation, take it to social. If it's a quick check-in and just like you can do it in a whisper, you can say it. So, we got through all this. Let's say you went to your first play party. I'm really, really hoping it was super awesome. I'm hoping that maybe your area throws play parties, especially for new people to kink, like some of mine do, which essentially they call it like a kinky carnival. And you can show up and there's a bunch of super experienced kinksters who are there and they run stations. It's like really, really cool. They run stations like spanking or flogging or rope bondage or things like that. And you pretty much, as an unexperienced kinkster, you just go around and you just like take the buffet. Like you sample everything that you're interested in. And those are super cool for beginners. Highly recommend you start there. They're much more informal than regular play parties. They're much more beginner friendly. If you have those locally, please seek those out because they are super cool. Also, like getting to try all those sensations in one spot is really cool. There's not a whole lot of places you can really do that at, but this is one of them. So let's say you went to your first play party, your like first official not beginner play party, and I hope it was awesome, but let's say it sucked. I don't know why it sucked. You would have to think for yourself why it sucked. But the question is, do you go to another one? And the answer is, all play parties are different. Every single one of them. Like, I've like gone over like 30 times. I think I've said it depends like 30 times in this pod, like this audio episode. And it does. It depends. One party led by one group is going to feel different than a party that's like 10 miles away led by a different group. So let's say your first play party sucked. Step one, why? Why did it suck? Sit there, think about it. What made it not a great experience for you? For a lot of people, this is just going to be the fact that they felt awkward. They didn't feel included. They didn't know what was going on. It was overwhelming. Those kind of feelings that come from being in a new space where you don't know people. And that's totally normal. That happens all the time. Honestly, like, I've been to so many play parties and so much kink stuff at this point, and I still get that when I first go to a new play party in a new space. Like, I don't know anyone. I feel like the weird duck out. I feel like kind of like I'm not welcome because I don't know anyone, and all these people are so friendly with one another. And that's totally normal. Let's say you did an oops. Maybe that's why it sucked. You did something wrong and somebody scolded you for it. That sucks too. But you know what? If you understood, if you learned your lesson, it's worth thinking about going back. People make mistakes. Beginners especially make mistakes. It depends on what you did, whether you were banned, that kind of stuff. But for the most part, most beginner mistakes are minor. And you're probably going to feel like an asshole for being chided over it. But it's totally normal to make a mistake. The person who scolded you might remember, but other people probably don't. I wouldn't use that as a litmus test as to whether you should go back. So if you felt awkward, if you felt uncomfortable, I want you to know that's normal. That totally goes away with time. I really recommend getting to know some people who are at the party. If you're an introvert like me, that can include looking people up on FetLife and starting conversations and making online friends. That makes me feel more comfortable when I go to new parties. If you're more of an extrovert, I think just continually attending these parties, even though you feel a little weird, a little awkward, and like you don't know people, that can really help you start to know people, because you're not going to get to know people. You're not going to feel less awkward. You're not going to start to feel like you belong unless you continually go to do the thing. Like, you're never going to feel like, you're never going to feel more comfortable in a space that you don't know unless you get to know the space. Like, that's just literally logically how that works. Some fun ways to possibly speed it up, because nobody likes feeling awkward. So fun ways to speed it up. I recommend volunteering. There are a lot of volunteer positions at play parties often. As a newbie, you're probably not going to be tasked with like the super important stuff for the very obvious reasons of you don't know what you're doing. But there's a lot of things that can be done that a newbie can be really helpful for. Play like equipment, set up and take down. If you're capable of that, is always needed. You will get to know pretty much all of the management like in one fell swoop, which is very helpful because you will know all the people who know all the stuff, and that can make you feel much, much more comfortable. Not to mention, management tends to be a little more sensitive to how people feel when they first start going to kink events. There's usually door guards, so people who can help open, shut doors, things like that. Make sure everybody who's attending is someone who's actually an event, like, attendee. That might be a volunteer position you can sign up for. That will allow you to get to know people as they come and go. Say hi. Start to see a familiar face. I really recommend complimenting people if that's your jam. Every people, like not one gender or whoever you feel attracted to. Just like find something cool about what something someone's doing and compliment them. And that will start to make you some people who recognize your face and smile at you very quickly. Another way to possibly get to feel more comfortable is to ask management if there's anyone who like acts as a liaison to the group. In some groups, there is like a beginner liaison who is responsible for going out to coffee, getting to know some of the new people so they feel a little more comfortable when they come to parties and events. That's totally a thing too. So there are some ways to take your own comfort into your own hands here. And I know it's uncomfortable, like I do. I am the biggest introvert who feels super socially awkward all the time. And people make fun of it for me all the time too. Like, I'm very socially awkward and a very much an introvert, but it's not gonna get better until you start to apply some of your work to it. And it's really worth getting better, because if you're a kinky person, if you want to go to these parties, if you want to make other kinky friends, kinky partners, kinky relationships, you kind of need to put yourself out there some way. And whatever way you choose to do, that's up to you. Play parties are a great way to do it. Kink events are a great way to do it. But it's really a personal kind of, you got to do it at some point. If your goal is to be kinky and meet kinky people and do kinky things, you got to do something at some point that's going to feel uncomfortable. That's just kind of how it is. Cool things don't land on your lap if you're not putting yourself out there. And putting yourself out there for play parties might be how you decide to do it. It's how I do it. I like it. I love it. I love it. Play parties are amazing for me. They're my people. I love them. So I think that's about it. The only thing I didn't mention, and it is an important thing that I apparently didn't put anywhere in my notes. Woo, go me. The only thing I didn't mention is that play party locations are very, 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 very secret. They're intentionally done that way. If anyone ever asks you for a play party location, do not give it to them. Refer them to the group. If you're talking about a play party you're attending, do not talk about the location. Do not talk about what's near the location. Do not talk about anything that is location related at all. It's kind of like one of those things like don't out people, but for a building. Don't out anyone who goes to the event. Don't out the building that the event is in. Both are very, very important for everyone's privacy and safety and comfort. And so everyone attending those events can still continue to feel like they are a good, welcoming space for all of the kinky people. And I think that's about all I have to say. I am open to comments, emails, questions, etc. I'm sure I missed something, and if I did, please let me know, because I can always add notes, because that's how the internet works. So thank you for tuning in to everything you pretty much need to know about your first play party. I hope it helps you feel more comfortable attending your first play party, because they're really cool. They are kind of a world onto their own, and I understand and respect that, and that's why I try to be upfront about these things and talk to people about them, because they can be scary when you're first attending and you're going into like a foreign world you don't understand. So I hope this helped you understand it, and I'm going to stop rambling. So thanks for joining me here today.